Today is the 22nd day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful. It is a joy and a privilege to be around the global campfire with you today as we release the stresses and strains that life brings our way every day and slumps our shoulders like we're carrying a burden that is simply too heavy. And the burden is life. And sometimes it feels that way. But we have this place, a little oasis in all of it, to just rest, exhale, and allow God to speak through His Word. Reprioritizing and reorienting us to God. And so I am grateful, deeply, deeply grateful to be here around the global campfire with you today as we take the next step forward. And that will lead us back to the book of Leviticus. We're reading from the Christian Standard Bible this week, Leviticus chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. When a person has a swelling, scab, or spot on the skin of his body, and it may be a serious disease on the skin of his body, he is to be brought to the priest Aaron or to one of his sons, the priests. The priest will examine the sore on the skin of his body. If the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is, in fact, a serious skin disease. After the priest examines him, he must pronounce him unclean. But if the spot on the skin of his body is white and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest will quarantine the stricken person for 7 days. The priest will then re-examine him on the 7th day. If he sees that the sore remains unchanged and is not spread on the skin, the priest will quarantine him for another 7 days. The priest will examine him again on the 7th day. If the sore has faded and has not spread on the skin, the priest is to pronounce him clean. It is a scab. The person is to wash his clothes and will become clean. But if the scab spreads further on his skin after he has presented himself to the priest for his cleansing, he is to present himself again to the priest. The priest will examine him, and if the scab is spread on the skin, then the priest must pronounce him unclean. He has a serious skin disease. When a case of a serious skin disease may have developed on a person, he is to be brought to the priest. The priest will examine him. If there is a white swelling on the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is a patch of raw flesh in this swelling, it is a chronic serious disease on the skin of his body, and the priest must pronounce him unclean. He need not quarantine him, for he is unclean. But if the skin disease breaks out all over the skin so that it covers all the skin of the stricken person from his head to his feet, so far as the priest can see, the priest will look, and if the skin disease has covered his entire body, he is to pronounce the stricken person clean. Since he has turned totally white, he is clean. But whenever raw flesh appears on him, he will be unclean. When the priest examines the raw flesh, he must pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean. This is a serious skin disease. But if the raw flesh changes and turns white, he is to go to the priest. The priest will examine him, and if the sore has turned white, the priest must pronounce the stricken person clean. He is clean. When a boil appears on the skin of someone's body and it heals, and a white swelling or reddish-white spot develops where the boil was, the person is to present himself to the priest. The priest will make an examination, and if the spot seems to be beneath the skin and the hair in it has turned white, the priest must pronounce him unclean. It is a case of serious skin disease that has broken out in the boil. But when the priest examines it, if there is no white hair in it, and it is not beneath the skin, but is faded, the priest will quarantine him 7 days. If it spreads further on the skin, the priest must pronounce him unclean. It is, in fact, a disease. But if the spot remains where it is and does not spread, it is only the scar from the boil. The priest is to pronounce him clean. When there is a burn on the skin of one's body produced by fire, and the patch made raw by the burn becomes reddish, white, or white, the priest is to examine it. If the hair in the spot is turned white and the spot appears to be deeper than the skin, it is a serious skin disease that has broken out in the burn. The priest must pronounce him unclean. It is a serious skin disease. But when the priest examines it, if there is no white hair in the spot and it is not beneath the skin, but is faded, the priest will quarantine him 7 days. The priest will re-examine him on the 7th day. If it has spread further on the skin, the priest must pronounce him unclean. It is, in fact, a case of serious skin disease. But if the spot has remained where it was and is not spread on the skin but is faded, it is the swelling from the burn. The priest is to pronounce him clean, for it is only the scar from the burn. When a man or woman has a condition on the head or chin, the priest is to examine the condition. If it appears to be deeper than the skin, and the hair in it is yellow and sparse, the priest must pronounce the person unclean. It is a scaly outbreak, a serious skin disease of the head or chin. When the priest examines the scaly condition, if it does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, the priest will quarantine the person with the scaly condition for 7 days. The priest will re-examine the condition on the 7th day. If the scaly outbreak is not spread and there is no yellow hair in it and it does not appear to be deeper than the skin, the person is to shave himself but not shave the scaly area. Then the priest will quarantine the person who has the scaly outbreak for another 7 days. The priest will examine the scaly outbreak on the 7th day, and if it has not spread on the skin and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, the priest is to pronounce the person clean. He is to wash his clothes, and he will be clean. But if the scaly outbreak spreads further on the skin after his cleansing, the priest is to examine the person. If the scaly outbreak has spread on the skin, the priest does not need to look for yellow hair. The person is unclean. But if, as far as he can see, the scaly outbreak remains unchanged and black hair has grown in it, then it has healed. He is clean. The priest is to pronounce the person clean. When a man or woman has white spots on the skin of the body, the priest is to make an examination. If the spots on the skin of the body are dull white, it is only a rash that is broken out on the skin. The person is clean. If a man loses the hair of his head, he is bald, but he is clean. Or if he loses the hair at his hairline, he is bald on his forehead, but he is clean. But if there is a reddish-white condition on the bald head or forehead, it is a serious skin disease breaking out on his head or forehead. The priest is to examine him, and if the swelling of the condition on his bald head or forehead is reddish-white, like the appearance of a serious skin disease on his body, the man is afflicted with a serious skin disease. He is unclean. The infection is on his head. The person who has a case of serious skin disease is to have his clothes torn and his hair hanging loose, and he must cover his mouth and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He will remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He must live alone in a place outside the camp. If a fabric is contaminated with mildew in wool or linen fabric, in the warp or weft of linen or wool, or in leather or anything made of leather, and if the contamination is green or red in the fabric, the leather, the warp, the weft, or any leather article, it is a mildew contamination and is to be shown to the priest. The priest is to examine the contamination and quarantine the contaminated fabric for 7 days. The priest is to re-examine the contamination on the 7th day. If it has spread in the fabric, the warp, the weft, or the leather, regardless of how it is used, the contamination is harmful mildew. It is unclean. He is to burn the fabric, the warp, or weft, in wool or linen, or any leather article which is contaminated. Since it is harmful mildew, it must be burned. When the priest examines it, if the contamination is not spread in the fabric, the warp or weft, or any leather article, the priest is to order whatever is contaminated to be washed and quarantined for another 7 days. After it has been washed, the priest is to re-examine the contamination. If the appearance of the contaminated article is not changed, it is unclean. Even though the contamination is not spread, you must burn the fabric. It is a fungus on the front or back of the fabric. If the priest examines it and the contamination has faded after it has been washed, he is to cut the contaminated section out of the fabric, the leather, or the warp or weft. But if it reappears in the fabric, the warp or weft, or any leather article, it is broken out again. You must burn whatever is contaminated. But if the contamination disappears from the fabric, the warp or weft, or any leather article which have been washed, it is to be washed again, and it will be clean. This is the law concerning a mildew contamination in wool or linen fabric, warp or weft, or any leather article, in order to pronounce it clean or unclean. Mark 6, 1-29. He left there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. "Where did this man get these things?" they said. "What is this wisdom that has been given to him? And how are these miracles performed by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us?" So they were offended by him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his household." He was not able to do a miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he was amazed at their unbelief. He was going around the villages teaching. He summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the road except a staff, no bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on an extra shirt. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place does not welcome you or listen to you, when you leave there, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and preached that people would repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. King Herod heard about it, because Jesus' name had become well known. Some said, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him." But others said, "He's Elijah." Still others said, "He's a prophet like one of the prophets from long ago." When Herod heard of it, he said, "John, the one I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had given orders to arrest John and to chain him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias held a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing he was a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard him, he would be very perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. An opportune time came on his birthday, when Herod gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. When Herodias' own daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you." He promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" "John the Baptist's head," she said. At once, she hurried to the king and said, "I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a platter immediately." Although the king was deeply distressed, because of his oaths and the guests, he did not want to refuse her. The king immediately sent for an executioner and commanded him to bring John's head. So he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about it, they came and removed his corpse and placed it in a tomb. Psalm 39. The Fleeting Nature of Life. For the choir director, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, "I will guard my ways so that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle as long as the wicked are in my presence." I was speechless and quiet. I kept silent even from speaking good, and my pain intensified. My heart grew hot within me. As I mused, a fire burned. I spoke with my tongue, "Lord, make me aware of my end and the number of my days, so that I will know how short-lived I am. In fact, you have made my days just inches long, and my lifespan is as nothing to you. Yes, every human being stands as only a vapor. Yes, a person goes about like a mere shadow. Indeed, they rush around in vain, gathering possessions without knowing who will get them. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Rescue me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the taunt of fools. I am speechless. I do not open my mouth because of what you have done. Remove your torment from me. Because of the force of your hand, I am finished. You discipline a person with punishment for iniquity, consuming like a moth what is precious to him. Yes, every human being is only a vapor. Selah. Hear my prayer, Lord, and listen to my cry for help. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am here with you as an alien, a temporary resident like all my ancestors. Turn your angry gaze from me so that I may be cheered up before I die and am gone." Proverbs 10:10. A sly wink of the eye causes grief, and foolish lips will be destroyed. Okay, in the book of Leviticus today, we talked about skin problems and fabric problems. And we again can go, that's why I always have stopped my journey when I got to the book of Leviticus. I don't know what's going on here. But actually, we kinda do. And we talked about this some yesterday. But there are practical and spiritual implications here. What we are moving through in the law is the distinction between what is clean and what is unclean. So, for example, in the case of an open sore on a person's body, in their skin, below the skin, that could be an infectious problem or a biohazard in some sort of way. It's an open, oozing sore. And so we may think, okay, you get out the first aid kit or you go to the doctor, you run to the hospital, whatever that is. These people don't have any of those options. Those things don't exist. They didn't have a ministry of disease control or anything like that. In fact, what we notice in this culture is that the priest is central. His job is not only spiritual, there are practical things that the priest does. And declaring clean and unclean is one of those things for the protection of all of the people. Infection or disease that can spread in a closed community out in the wilderness with nowhere to go could be devastating. It could cause the annihilation of the people. It would be hard for us to not grasp the significance or the importance of this, knowing what we have been through in the world for the last couple of years with all of our fancy advanced technologies. And then we get to the fabric portion of the law. And again, there isn't a ministry of agriculture or a ministry of textiles. Like, they don't have any of this. But they have experienced mildew. We still deal with that today. We just have fast ways to deal with it. They didn't. They had water. And so we can understand the practical implications of what's going on here, but there's something greater also happening. Yes, they need practical measures to deal with certain things that will establish a cohesive people where everybody is generally on the same page and knows what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. But in this culture, what is being kind of woven in is the fact that practical things for living life as a human being in a human body are important, but they have correlations to spiritual life. There is clean, there is unclean. Clean leads to holiness. Unclean leads to destruction. And so let's keep that kind of in mind and before us as we continue this portion of the law in the coming days. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the practical things that we see here and understand here. And we ask that your Holy Spirit come and help us to connect the dots between practical and our spiritual journey and how similar things work. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That's the website, and it is where you find out what's going on around here. And so be sure to check in anytime that you want, anytime that you can. If you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can do that from within the app as well. So check out like the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are lots of resources in the shop that are for the journey. Like things like Promised Land, photographs from the land of the Bible, a beautiful coffee table edition where you can view so many of the places that we have visited and that we will be visiting as we move our way through the scriptures, or the Daily Audio Bible Journal. Oh, well, we've already talked about journaling and like piling up the rocks, as it's described in the Bible, creating a memorial so that you don't forget what happened there, what God did to be faithful there. Oh, journaling is a great way to do that. And so we have things to write with, things to write on, all the way to the global campfire candle that we worked hard on to get the scent just right so that it resembles a campfire and brings that aroma. It's funny how the little aesthetic things in our lives, little things that we have, remind us and center us and root us. And so there's all kinds of resources available in the shop. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you humbly. If the mission that we share to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody that will listen, anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around the rhythm, around the global campfire. If that has been life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy from Kentucky. I wanted to call today for a couple of reasons. My precious husband is sitting here in the hospital, and he has been having issues from a gallstone that passed into his bile duct, and it's been giving him problems. His bilirubin has been high and has not come down. He had two scopes and his gallbladder removed, and we sit here on day six waiting for those numbers to come down and for other things to happen in his body that will clear us to go home. So if you would please pray for my precious husband, Tim. I also wanted to pray today for Val in Vegas. Sister, first of all, happy belated birthday. I'm so sorry. So sorry that you are suffering from the symptoms of COVID. Lord, I'm asking you, Jesus, to breathe life. Breathe your breath of life into Val. Father, clear her lungs. And Father, for all those who are suffering, my friend Carla, who are all having issues with upper respiratory and with COVID. Father God, having a hard time getting breath, COPD, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to please breathe your breath of life, Father God, into them. Give them a clear pathway to breathe in the precious name of Jesus. All right, everyone. I love you guys. I pray each of you are having a most blessed and lovely day today.
Good morning, God. Just want to thank you so much and praise your holy name for being so good, so kind, so generous. Thank you for your provision and protection and for making all things new again in our hearts as we listen to the word, as we invite the Holy Spirit to take over those things that we know we can't do on our own. Father, there are so many hurts, so many disappointments, so many frustrations, so many sorrows. God, so many of us don't have a clue of what to do, but we want to know. And Father, we know that you have our best interest in mind. So as we wait for you to reveal the plan for our lives, or the direction we're supposed to go, or how we're supposed to show up in our relationships, as we wait for you to do that marvelous thing, empowering us, strengthening us, giving us hope and courage to move forward into today, you tell us that today your mercies are new in the morning. Today, if we hear your voice, we are to not harden our hearts, but to allow your Spirit and the sweet rain of your Spirit to soften our hearts. So today, dear Jesus, take us, mold us, make us, shape us, and may we be used to your name's honor and glory. thank you so much for hearing this prayer, dear God, for your son Jesus, and for the baptism of your Spirit. We love you. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, dear Jesus, it's February 19th, and I just heard the beautiful blessing prayer that Radiant Rachel left for all of her DAB family. It was so dear, and especially since I believe she is currently in the hospital, suffering under a serious condition. Father, please reach down, be with her, surround her with your healing love, and make her whole again. She is so precious to us. I know she's precious to you, but she is one of our sweet sisters. Please watch over her and heal her and bring her back to us. And Father, I also heard a disturbing prayer about a conference of Satan worshipers in Phoenix. Father, my own grandson has been told that you don't exist. Please, Father, help us to save our children and our grandchildren and our brothers and sisters from this evil, evil influence. Give us the strength and the courage to renounce his evil ways in your name when they come anywhere near to us. Thank you, Father. Forgive us for taking you for granted sometimes. We don't deserve you, but we love you and we want to be.
Hi, Dabbers. This is Emily of Emily and Jim, Emily in Cardiff, and Jim in Texas. First, I want to thank the sister back in January or December who prayed for us. We are so grateful. We got to spend a beautiful 2 weeks together in January. I flew out there and it was so wonderful and so hard to leave. So please pray as we continue to put the spouse application together, and that his project would complete and he'd get the spouse visa at about the same time so he can come back to me. We miss each other so much. But I really have wanted to pray over the past month or so for marriages where one person is praying for the restoration of the marriage and the other one has left. And in the midst of this, we had some friends who are going exactly through that. I want to remind you, first of all, that Jesus requires us to forgive, to repay evil with blessing, evil with good, and cursing with blessing. And also that we here all lift up our shields of faith together to stand with you in a turtle formation against those fiery darts of the enemy that may be coming from your spouse, but are really lies from the devil. So Lord God, we lift up to you marriages. Lord, we lift up to you the brothers and sisters who have called in and have asked us to pray for the restoration of their marriages. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will teach them and give them divine strategies how to stand for their marriages. But together, we lift up our shields of faith and we stand with them against the fiery darts of the enemy trying to destroy their marriage. And we proclaim in the name of Jesus these marriages restored. We look forward to hearing the testimonies. Bless you guys. Love you.
Hello, my beautiful Dab family. This is Asia from the City of Angels. And this one goes out to the woman who called on February 19th from the UK, who is just in the grip of fear and anxiety over her current situation. She has to move houses, and she's just crippled with anxiety. And I heard the fear in her voice as she wept. And so I am just coming to you to offer this word that I had just read fresh that morning before I heard your prayer. So I'm going to read it to you. It's from Joshua 1:9. And it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And my sister, I just want you to write that down, read it every day, and commit your anxiety to the Lord. Put it in His hands. He will deliver you. My daughter also has anxiety and recently had a bad bout with it as well. And we've talked it through and we went through some scripture, and ultimately it is your choice whether you want to hand this over to God and ask Him to remove it from you and replace your fear with His faith and His hope. And I just give you all the encouragement that I can possibly muster in my heart and all my love, sister. You can overcome this with God's love and the faith in the Lord. So please be encouraged today and know that I'm praying for you. Take care. God bless you.